the red, red robin comes bopping along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing that old sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy.
Independent, totally biased, Hull Kingston Rovers. You are listening to the Red Robin podcast with Joe Appleyard and Chris Johnson.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Red Robin podcast. And like the title of the episode says, let's hope the Robins have got Saturday night fever. In this week's episode, we discuss last week's Magic Weekend victory over the Lee Centurions, the tale of two Gregs, which sees Greg Minikin head over to Lancashire, who will be playing for Warrington next season. And we welcome grand final winning prop for St Helens and now London Bronco forward Greg Richards, who will be moving to East Hull in 2022. We also discuss the news that Ben Crooks will be staying with the Robins next year. And of course, we'll finish with our annual tipping league and discuss Saturday's massive clash, the fourth meeting between Hull Kingston Rovers and the Castleford Tigers. Win and the Robins could be in the playoffs, lose and the season could be over. We have got a massive 2 weeks, so let's get straight into it, guys. With me, Joe Appleyard, and Chris Johnson, this is the Red Robin Podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Red Robin Podcast with me, Joe Appleyard, and Chris Johnson. Chris, it's great to speak to you, mate. I know you're a bit under the weather at the minute, aren't you? So we're going to try and get a good 45 minutes out of you. Stretch your lungs because you're feeling a bit ill at the minute, aren't you, pal?
Yeah, so apologies if my voice is sounding a bit croaky to people. Yeah, just a bit of man flu, I think. So took so much celebrating after our victory against Lee, I think, and enjoying the tune a little bit so much.
Yeah, definitely. We'll go on to that, mate. But obviously, we're recording today and it is the 9th of September 2021. This time, 4 years ago, mate, obviously, Rovers got back into Super League at the first time of asking 14 points to 6 against the Widnes Vikings. That Ryan Shaw full-length interception from, I think, Joe Mellor, a pass. What do you remember from that day, mate? I remember going out straight after all the players, all the fans in Vicky Octave. I remember town being packed with red and white. And it would, you know what? Even that championship season, we always speak about, don't we? We've done heritage cast with the people who've been in with that year. And it was always a weird one. The expectations was always to go up. But I remember being very relieved that moment, especially when we knew that Danny Maguire was coming to Rovers. With obviously Tim Sheens was still at the club and before everything that happened in 2019, that day will always live in my memory, mate, up there. We'll be, you know, because you look back at 2006, can't really remember it, that game against Widnes, you know, funnily enough. But 2017, great times, mate. What do you remember from that day?
Yeah, it was crazy, wasn't it, mate? I was, I think everyone were a little bit nervous, weren't they, apprehensive, because the whole season had been building towards that moment, really, in terms of getting us promoted. So I think there was a bit of trepidation. I remember speaking to some people, and then, you know, they were so confident about Rovers winning that game. You know, but my abiding memory is obviously, you know, it's been doing the rounds on social media, hasn't it? Blazing Shaw, you know, that try, you know, almost like poetry, wasn't it? Just watching him going almost a full length of the field and going over, and you know, the raucous scenes in the East Stand, people hugging each other, people bouncing around. And they're the moments you want to be involved in, aren't they? That's why we support Rovers. That's why we love sport. It's for them moments. And I think it was, you know, at the end of the day, it was more relief than anything, wasn't it? Knowing that we're going to be a Super League side. But it's, it's a timely reminder of where we are now and where we've come from. And you know, it's still a relatively short space of time, but, you know, if we hadn't achieved that promotion, we hadn't achieved that result, you know, Rovers wouldn't be where they are now, and things could have been a lot different. So it was much needed at the time.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the fact. If we wouldn't have gone up that year, the money, the turnover, you know, we signed people like Mossy, didn't we, Justin Carney, Magsy was coming, even if it was in the championship. So that game was vital, and that's where, you know, the progress, even though it's only been 4 years, now we're talking, we've got two games left and we're fighting for that sixth, fifth or fourth place, which we will go on to, mate. But great times 4 years ago today. We'll move back a little bit.
Yeah, closer. What I would say as well, mate.
Go on, pal.
I was just going to say, Joe, as well, look at where Widnes have ended up.
Yes,
and look at, you know, all the issues they've had off field. You look at the squad, you look at the results they're achieving now, and that could have easily been Rovers. It really could have been.
How sad is it to see, though, mate, before we move on to Rovers, the likes of Widnes, London, who announced yesterday they was going part-time. Obviously, we're going to benefit of picking up Greg Richards, which we'll discuss later in the show. But how sad is it to see these teams? I'm not being funny. In 2019, London did us over twice, and I thought they definitely deserved to stay in Super League. It was tough that they went down on the final day of the season. I'm so glad it wasn't us. But teams like them, Widnes, you've got a lot of good teams in the Championship that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the likes of Ellery, you know, there was the best team in the world, weren't they, at a certain stage? Yeah, Martin of Fire, all them. What was it? Is that correct? Or have I been totally wrong? Was it one of them? Yeah, and now, you know, I've got a few mates that we'll have known over the years of a Widnes and stuff. But it's sad to see, mate. It's just the way rugby league's going, isn't it? But look at them now after 4 years and look where we are. So we need to count ourselves lucky, definitely, mate. But let's move on to the tune, like you've just described then in the intro. Newcastle, I watched it on the box. You was there. You're a much better supporter than me, mate. If I wanted to be aware the next day, I would have gone. It looked really good, mate. Obviously, before we speak about the game, you was there. I saw some of the videos you put on. How was the atmosphere in and around St. James's Park? The Quayside. I love Newcastle. It was great to watch. Great 2 days in front of the telly. What was your experience on the Sunday, mate?
Yeah, I said in the last podcast, and I was actually probably, you know, not looking forward to that much. I didn't expect there to be a big crowd. You know, the fact we was playing Lee, it was, you know, R5 on a Sunday evening. You know, I wasn't looking forward to it, but, you know, we got the train over there, and as soon as you got off the train into Newcastle, you know, there was just a buzz about the place. You saw all the different fans talking, having a beer, and that pretty much carried on throughout the day, mate. It really was like a party atmosphere, and it is almost like, and then what I like about Magic Weekend is that these games are almost like cup games, aren't they, just by the fact that they're played at a neutral stadium, and we, you know, we saw that in some of the performances and some of the results from the weekend. But no, it was a great experience, mate. I thought Rovers supporters were a credit to the club. You know, we was in the Strawberry Bar just outside St. James Park, fantastic atmosphere, and then in the ground, you know, that they really got behind the boys, and it was just a good day out, mate, really. It was a really good day out, and like I said, I think Newcastle is the best place for Magic Weekend, and I've seen there's some stories going around that other places are bidding to host it, but for me, Newcastle's where it's best, and it's where it should stay.
Yeah, I agree with that, mate. I've seen Dublin, Barcelona. I don't think you wouldn't get people flying to Barcelona, Dublin. I know it sounds daft and it sounds a bit like, you know, typical Northerners and stuff, but it is really, really expensive. Rugby league has a massive drinking culture.
At the end of the day, mate, Newcastle, you can do, you know, it's a 50 quid day out, isn't it? Once you get,
of course, it is, mate. Around for two people, I remember when me and Hall went to Dublin, was in that temple bar, the main bar. We ordered, I think it was a Guinness, which I should have never drunk because it's ranked as the worst drink in the world. And she got a vodka rebel, €23. I literally wanted to cry my eyes out. Imagine all them Northerners going and buying pints of Guinness for €12. You'd never dream of it, would you? I think it stays in Newcastle because it's a great day out, and you said 50 quid, it's a day out. People love it. And it's, you know, it's near everywhere. It's not on that M62 corridor, but it's only 2.5, whatever it may be, drive up there. And obviously, Rovers got the victory, mate, 44 points to 6. But boy, did we make hard work of it in that first 25 minutes, mate. I thought, here we go again. You know, we had so much possession territory. I think it was about 80-20 at one point. Rovers really struggled in that opening 20 minutes. Obviously, we had a different half-back pairing. We had Joe Keyser was making his first appearance with Mikey. Them two struggled the first 20. Will Dagger coming in for his first appearance. Before that all clicked, mate, and Matty Russell scored on 22 minutes to make it 6-0 to Lee. You know what? I was scared. I thought, we've got so many chances. We're running out of steam. It's not our day. What was the feeling like, mate, when we had so much possession, so much territory, and then we go 6-0 down? It was typical Rovers wanting that first 20.
Yeah, and obviously we saw the just before Matty Russell scored, we saw Matty Staunton's try disallowed, didn't we? Which, you know, to us in the ground, we couldn't believe it. I don't know what you thought about seeing at home on the
Blatant try, mate. Alvete got that try and Staunton didn't. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it seems a bit of a leveller, doesn't it? Yeah. But I think, like you said, mate, it took, what, 22 minutes for Lee to score. And although they did score, it was very much against the run of play. And we had plenty of possession, but was just struggling to make use of it. And I think that was because we had Keys and Dagger in key positions, finding a way back into the game. Obviously, we had Takarangi playing second row. So there was a few changes in that team. And I think Ryan Hall said in his post-match interview, look, they knew that Lee had come out all guns blazing that first half. And as long as they could weather the storm, they knew that they had enough to beat them. So I didn't feel there was any sense of panic amongst the players. I thought there was very much, you know, trying to make things happen. For whatever reason, it wasn't coming off. And then we started to see Rovers start to play a bit, didn't we? And then from that point, they never looked back.
Yeah, I think the most vital part of the game was when we had Keys, Lewis, Parcell and then Jez. And we'll speak about Parcell and Jez because them two were fantastic as always. But them two tries back-to-back, Ben Crooks is in the corner. Crooks obviously signed the deal as well. Loads of topics tonight, mate. And then Albert Vettier crashing over. That kind of took the wind out of Lee, in my opinion. There was really up for it. They was playing a decent brand when they got it. You know, they was throwing it about. We know they're going to be in the Championship next year, probably. They're relegated. And them two quick back-to-back tries just showed. And I thought, and I was so frustrated because we're so static, we put no moves on, and it doesn't matter who you're against. We've gone to Wigan and beat them. It doesn't matter that it was Lee, it's whoever you get put up against. If you don't put moves on and you're static in attack, you're not going to get nowhere. Rovers put two moves on in their back-to-back tries and scored from them. Rugby can be a simple game, Chris. Bit more intensity. Rovers got out of that first gear, started going a little bit quicker, and that's when we're strongest, aren't we? When we've got options, we're fast in attack, and the two halfbacks and the two hookers that are on at the same time, for me, that's when Rovers are at the strongest. If it's Abdul, Takarangi, Milnes, Lewis, Keys, Jez, Parcell, whoever it is, that is how Wolkingston Rovers are at the best.
Yeah, and I think that's when the penny drops, them quick fire tries. I thought Rovers, you know, we saw Vettier go, I mean, Crooks try, first of all, you know, the Lee wing is going to be disappointed with that effort on Crooks, isn't he? Yeah. Because he's hardly laid a hand on him, and Crooks has just managed to roll over. And then you've seen Vettier, you know, he's making a name for himself for these runs in here close to the try line and barging himself over, you know, whether it's a try or not, who cares? You know, it went in Rovers' favour. And I think that's where the penny dropped for Rovers, because you started to see Keys, Dagger, you know, you talked about the influence of Parcell, they really started coming to their own. And really, half time probably just came at the right time for Rovers, because it gave Tony Smith probably a chance to calm everybody down and say, look, you've got yourselves in a good position. You've gone in front. You've gone in at the break in front. Let's now start seeing some rugby to be played. And the second half really was a, you know, it was like chalk and cheese in a way, wasn't it? Because some of the rugby we was playing that second half was scintillating. And it started with Will Dagger's kickoff, you know, a really inventive kickoff. And I think that's where we set the tone.
Yeah, definitely. Two things on that, what you've just said, mate. I think starting strong is my favourite, you know, sentence with Wolkingston Rovers. We need to do it, especially against the bigger, the year and the better teams who are in and around us. You know, Will Dagger, really good kick. I was really impressed with Will, mate. I thought he's played a few games at Fev. How much better did Wolkingston Rovers look when they had two halfbacks actually playing in the halfbacks, a second row playing in the second row, and a fullback at fullback? And Ryan Hall is like a fine wine. He gets better with age. That first try, really, really weird type of play. Great offload from Mikey, who ran from one field to the other. Passes it to Ryan Hall. He cuts inside. No one wanted to tackle him. And Brad Takarangi goes in for probably the easiest try of his 12-year career so far. I just thought everyone clicked because they put everyone in the right position. You know, Rob Crossland put it in. It's weird that as soon as we start putting players in their prime positions, their first positions, we start playing well. I thought Takarangi was really good in the second row. He needs to start cementing that spot. I hope Tony plays in there. With Abdul coming back, there's no need to put Takarangi in the halfbacks anymore. I thought Keys and Lewis got better as time went on. But Will Dagger really, really impressed me. And that first 5 or 10 minutes, Rovers really set the tone. What was your opinion on the number one?
Yeah, do you know what, mate? I thought he, I mean, let's be fair. And you know, he had. I think he played really well. He played really well against Lee, though. And I know people will say, well, you can only do what's in front of you. But you've got, you know, he didn't really get tested that much by a Lee side with limited ability and a tiring Lee side. So, that's a slight caveat to that. But, like, you know, he did what he had to do, and he did it very well. And for me, I think that the biggest success out of that was moving Crooks back to the right wing. I thought Crooks looked a lot more comfortable out there. I think him and Minikin, you know, they didn't really get troubled on that right edge, which has obviously been a feature for a long time. Obviously, Takarangi out there as well. Gave us a lot more solidity. You know, as a unit, they seem better. And then I think Dagger, he looks more of a natural fullback. You saw him with his speak. You know, he's communicating with the players. And I don't know about you, Joe. I mean, obviously, you saw him on the TV. But in person, he looks a bigger, stronger, more athletic player than what we've seen before. And obviously, maybe his loan spell down at Feathers really brought him on in terms of his physicality. Because, you know, I think that's one of the problem. Obviously, when he was first at Rovers, he was too slight, wasn't he? And you was worried, you know, would he be out-strength by the opposition? Well, tell you what, mate, physically, he seems to be holding his own now. So, yeah, I was impressed with him, mate, and I think he's nailed that number one shirt now, you know, at least for the Castleford game and wherever, you know, we go after that.
Yeah, let's hope so, mate. And we'll obviously discuss Will Dagger and Jimmy Carr. Also, we're still out of contract after we've discussed this game, mate. But the speed of rugby league as it's going on and the speed of Super League is always, it's always a talking point. And I think if you can manage and be faster than your opponents and smarter, as daft as it seems, that's the hardest battle in itself. And I just feel with our hookers, Matt Parcell and Jez Litton, I know we're biased, I know we're an OKR podcast, but them two working together is one of, at the moment, I wouldn't change them for any hookers in the league. I think Jez is working so well with Matt Parcell. Matt is just the strength of the kid for that try. He had four players on him, Jordan Thompson, Ben Elliott. Well, that's two forwards for a start. Never mind James Bell and Keegan Brand. The work him and Jez doing both attack and defence, you know, you look at the strip that Jez did when Lee made the break, the defence, the ball strips that Matt Parcell does, them two can play 80 minutes and they give 110% week in, week out. We've only got Matt Parcell for another year after this. Obviously, he signed a one-year deal. Jez has got another 3 years after 2022. He's cemented, same as Rowan Milnes. This partnership, mate, next year with Lachlan Coote as the span as well, with Abdul and Lewis and Milnes, Rovers, if we can get it right in the pack and keep injury-free, we've got one of the best spans in the league, mate. If we can all stay injury-free, the speed that we're going to have, we can definitely use it to our advantage. In my opinion, we talk about how SKD's been immense, Ryan Orr's been immense in certain times, but Parcell and Jez, they're the key for all Kingston Rovers this year, along with Jordan Abler when he's been fit. How impressed was we with the number 9 and the number 14 on Sunday?
Yeah, they're great, aren't they? And you know what I mean? It's not the first time this season, is it, where they've took the game to the opposition and we've got a positive result on the back of it. And Tony Smith's sort of curveballs, isn't it? Because traditionally you'd see two hookers want to do most of the minutes and they want to just simply come on and replace him and that's how they replace it. Whereas actually, they're more of a partnership, aren't they? They play in tandem, you know. Seems to be Parcell obviously gets the most minutes, Litton comes on, but that's only because I think Tony Smith starts strong. You know, we've seen another game where we've seen a prop lined up at loose forward. Obviously, I think Staunton's lined up at loose forward, and then they start to make the interchanges, and then that's when you see Litton come on. And I think we look to start strong, and we look to go big in the middle, but it's when Litton comes on and Parcell's, you know, the partnership between them, that's where they're really lighting up the game. And you know, the opposition don't know whether we're going to go down the middle. They don't know whether we're going to get a quick play. They don't know whether it's going to go through our halfbacks. You know, obviously against Lee, it was Keyes and Lewis. So when you look at them attacking options across the pitch, you know, it's no wonder people, you know, in inverted commas, call us the entertainers, because the attacking flair and the attacking prowess and the options we've got right across that line is scary. So when it clicks, mate, I think we look brilliant. And like you said, it's next season, you know, it's looking really promising when you add in Coots to that. So, but I think them two, they can win a game on their own. If them two are on fire, I think they can win it on their own sometimes, because sometimes they're unplayable.
Two players who haven't played much for all Kingston Rovers is Joe Keyes and Jimmy Carnos. They got on the score sheet on the end of the game, and I think the unity of this team and that they all want to play for each other shows. With that Jimmy Carnos try, who's been playing in the second row, Tony Smith praised him this week with James O'Brien, Old Daily Mail, saying how vital he is. He cut, you know, don't complain about not playing much. When he comes on, he gives 110%. When he scored, everyone got around him, people buzzing for him. And that final try for Joe Keyes, Ben Crooks picks up the ball from an interception, mate. He could have scored. He could have picked up his points. I think he's on about 10, 11 tries, isn't he? Nearly catching up to Ryan Hall. But he gives it to Joe Keys. And do you know what? When you look at it, it's quite, not, I want to say emotional, do you know what I mean? But it shows how buzzing there was for Joe Keys that he's finally getting his chance. We know he's not going to be with us next year and he's going to be at Halifax. I thought he played steady. I thought he got a lot of praise because of, obviously, we won the Spurs so much and he was at halfback. I don't think he set the world on like. And we know he's not probably going to play now. Abdul's back. But Joe Keys scoring at the end summed up a really, really positive second half for the Robins. And how good was it by Ben Crooks to give him that ball? Because he really didn't have to. And look how buzzing he was and everybody else.
Yeah, well, you couldn't make it any more Rovers, could you? The week we announced that he's departing the club and he hadn't played all season, he then goes and makes his, he goes and plays and scores. You know, you couldn't make it up, could you? You know, but I think he showed what he's capable of. I just don't think there's a place for him in the team.
No.
Unity, it's that togetherness. And I think what Tony Smith's done is, and then this is the thing about rugby league, isn't it? You know, we've seen it with the signings we've made. We've seen it with other clubs, the signings they've made. You know, halfway through the season, half your team's leaving and you've got another, you know, a load of signings coming in. So it must disrupt things. But I think Tony Smith's done a really good job in making the players focus on the here and now. And the job they've got in front of them and stop them thinking about, well, you know, you are leaving, you're not part of our plans. Tony Smith's done a really good job in keeping everybody together, keeping everyone motivated. And you saw that with the try for Keys because, you know, I mean, how selfless was it from Crooks as well, to be fair? You know, he could have easily gone over and to have his pal on his left shoulder to hand it over to and give him a try. And obviously, there's something to stopping him doing the Newley run, didn't they? That must have been his thinking. I think it was relief from Joe Keys when he scored that try because he knew he'd dodged a bullet. But no, fair play, mate. I think they've brought someone in to do a specific job in that game. Whether he lines and not when you consider Apple's back and Milnes didn't play. I think this might be Joe Keys' only appearance of the season, but. You never know, do you, with Tony Smith? You never know. So credit to Joe Keys for stepping up to the plate and not only, you know, doing an okay job, doing a really good job when we needed him to.
Yeah, definitely, mate. You cut out a little bit there, Chris, but I got what you said, mate. And that was obviously Hull Kingston Rovers beating Lee Centurions 44 points to 6 to break the three game losing streak.
One thing I was going to say, what I was really impressed with, and I've noticed it in the last couple of games, is Louis Johnson's offloads.
Yes, He's making,
you know what, I think he's obviously he won't get player of the year, but I think he's one of our, well, most improved unsung heroes because I think he's really performed consistently. I know Tony Smith dropped him a few games ago, didn't he? But look how he's responded. And for me, for someone who we thought might be a fringe player and on the edge of the team, he's really cemented that second row position this season. So fair play to him. And I'm loving seeing his offloads because he's doing it in the middle of the park and you've got Parcell Litton playing off him. And once they get an offload, you know, we can go left or right. So it's a nice feature of his game that he seems to have been working on, and it's definitely working for us at the moment.
Yeah, and he's much better at second row, mate. I don't like him in the prop position. I think he's not beefed up enough, is he? He needs to stay in that second row. But that'll come when we get players back, mate. But definitely, Louis Johnson, he's been the standout for me. The player, when I remember our first podcast, second one we did when we went through all the players, I remember both of us saying we won't see Louis Johnson much to be cover. I remember it, mate, and obviously he's proved us wrong. He must have played what, 15 games, and
I think he might have only missed one or two at most, I think.
And being rewarded with a 2-year deal, mate. He only signed for this year, didn't he? So he's got another 2 years in red and white, which is really good. And someone who is also going to be in red and white next year is Ben Crooks. We have had a few ins and outs, mates, but we will start with Crooksy. So we saw the announcement that said, Hull Kingston Rovers are delighted to announce Ben Crooks has signed a 1-year extension for the 2022 season. The Robins' third highest try scorer this season. Crooks has been an integral part of Tony Smith's squad, scoring 10 tries this season, including the fastest try scored in Super League history. Crooks said, I'm over the moon. I made it clear from the start that I only wanted to stay at this club. I've found a real home here and I can see what the club's building and achieving. I've been his critic, mate, and a lot of people have as well. He is not a fullback. He needs to work on his defence. He's better on that wing position, on that right wing position. That's where he needs to stay from this year and next year. But Crooks, he has played for Hull. He's been at Cass. He's been at Lee. He's gone to Parramatta. He's played 140 Super League games and scored 71 tries, mate. The bloke's only 28. He's been with Rovers since 2018. Even though he was born in Pontefract, he spent a lot of time in Orlando, obviously with his dad being Lee Crooks. Crooksy is always going to give you 110%, mate. He seems a really nice bloke. I feel like this works for both parties. It's a year, so he's got to prove himself again. He might not play every game next year, but you know you can put him in. And even though he hasn't got a prone mistake in him, he's a steady player. And I feel like he needs to probably gain a bit more confidence. And I feel he'll do that once he's back on the wing. Again, we look at Sean Kennedy-Dowell last year. He's been mixing it up. Ben Crooks, he's played at fullback. He's played at centre wing, but with Minikin, then Ethan Ryan. There's been other players. And I just feel Crooksy is part of Hull Kingston Rovers now. He's been here for a long time. Signed with Craig Hall, didn't he, on Derby Day. And then had that fantastic debut against his former club. Minikin's going. We'll speak about that soon, mate. But we know Ben Crooks is here for 2022. Right decision, I think it is, mate. It won't be on massive, massive wages. Can play plenty of positions and knows the club inside out.
Yeah, I think the key stat there is his age, 28. He fits into that mould of player that Tony Smith is obviously recruited and also wants around the club. And a one-year contract for me is a bit of a no-brainer, isn't it? Because it gives Rovers an option at the end of next season to let him go if needs be, or if he has another good season. You know, he said he's already comfortable at the club and he wants to be here for a long time. It gives some leverage, doesn't it? So I'm pleased to see him. I don't think he's a fullback. He's definitely not a fullback. I'm not that keen on him in the centre. He's an out and out winger. Obviously, next season it'll be him or Ethan Ryan, won't it, by the looks of it, who's going to be playing on that right side. And, you know, either one who plays, you know they're going to be tested and pushed because they've got somebody behind them who can equally fit into that team. So it's going to be a good battle between them to see who gets that right edge slot. So yeah, like you said, mate, I think it'll be good business for the club. I can't imagine the contract being big money on what you'd have to sign probably to replace him. And like you said, he's got a great try scoring record, especially
loads,
at Rovers.
Loads.
Yeah, especially at Rovers. So, you know, he seems to be someone who you know, like that try we saw against Lee on Sunday, he can just make it happen out of nothing. You know, something don't look to be on. And all of a sudden you've got Crooks going in. And for me, players like that, it's a little bit like in football, isn't it, where if you've got a goal scorer, some people moan and say, well, all he does is score goals. Well, if all he does is score tries, I'm happy with that because it's tries what win games. So it's a good bit of business for me.
Yeah, totally, mate. And while we're here, obviously, guys, that was Ben Crooks signing a one-year extension. We will obviously move on to an exciting bit of news, mate, and I always like to see this. I think, like, we haven't produced a lot of players since we've been in Super League, and it was announced yesterday that Hull Kingston Rovers are delighted to announce the signings of Academy Products, Daniel Okoro, Connor Moore and Max Kirkbright to professional first-team contracts for the next two seasons. Hard-working prop forwards Okoro and Moore will join Hull KR's dynamic pack, while Max Kirkbright will look to progress among the club's experienced three-quarter line, joining Sam Wood, along with the likes of Ben Crooks, SKD, Ryan Hall, Lachlan Coote and Ethan Ryan. I think with what Neville's doing and Rob Willow now, who's in with a club as well, I feel like this is great. You've had Connor Barley and Zach Fishwick, who have joined from the 16s as well. They'll be playing 19s next year, along with Okoro, Moore and Kirkbright. But what I really like about this, mate, is the fact that we've got Kirkbright, who's a centre, that's great. He'll be working with the likes of SKD. You've got Will Tate, who's a young kid, PLT. Loads of exciting outside backs. But how good is it finally to be producing? And you never know. We don't know what's going to happen with these young players' futures. We don't know what they're going to aspire to, if they're going to feature for the first team. But Daniel Okoro and Connor Moore, big lads from that photo, out-and-out prop forwards. And along with Greg Richards, who we're going to speak about, you've got Vette, Sims when he's on the pitch. You know, these prop forwards, George King, Staunton, Tom Garrett. You've got Frankie Alton coming in. We need size. And that's good that we've got these young kids, 17, 18, training with the first team. They'll be playing reserves. They'll be playing 19s. Two prop forwards nailed on. hopefully all born, you know, with different roots from different countries, especially Daniel Okoro. And it's just great to see, mate, that we're finally getting academy lads who are going to be picking up the number 30 shirt, the number 31. They might not feature next year, they might not feature the year after, but they're going to be in and around that first team working with Stanley, Jean, Maguire, Smith and Hodgson. And hopefully we see Daniel Okoro, Connor Moore, Max Kirkbright, Connor Barley, Zach Fishwick, Harvey Moore, these lads, these up-and-coming talents in the first team in years to come, mate. I think it's really positive now that obviously Bastian's left that we had this announcement, and I'm really pleased for them boys.
Yeah, it's good news all around, isn't it? And you know, we've had a lot of talk about the academy. You know, we saw the elite status taken off us, and then we got a stay of execution. Obviously, John Bastian's left. Neville's, you know, stepped up, and we've got a new guy in charge of the academy. I think fundamentally, though, we need to start seeing some results, don't we, from the work that these guys are putting in. And that's why I think we've got a good coach in Tony Smith, because he takes an overall look at the club. He's not bothered about just the first team. You know, I think Neil Udall trusts him, hence why Neil Udall's staying on. He trusts Tony Smith to have a holistic, you know, overview of the club, and obviously integral to that, he's blooding youngsters into that first team. So in 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time, we've got a team made up of local talent, young players who have come through the youth academy, with a sprinkling of magic from, you know, the NRL, you know, top level players in this country. So it's great news that we're getting these on board. Obviously, the reserve competition, it comes back next season. There's going to be probably more demand for these players in the Championship in League One, or whatever the restructure looks like, because, you know, they're going to be operating on reduced money, so that their ability to sound plays is going to be tested. So there's going to be opportunities to play for these players to play, you know, all across rugby league. You know, you've got the reserves at Rovers, and you've got the Championship in League One. So let's get them playing, mate. Let's get them bulked up. It must be tough, you know, Joe. It must be tough for a young prop to find the way in the game when they've got so much competition, and they're going up against some big blokes, experienced props. Whereas sometimes you think it's a little bit easier for maybe a winger or, you know, someone in that kind of position to get a bit more game time because they're not as exposed as much. But, you know, let's get them playing, let's get them bulked up, and let's see what happens. Because like you said, they've got good players around them, good coaches around them. And if they don't learn from them, you know, I don't think they'll do it anywhere else.
Yeah, and I'm really glad, because obviously I feel like the academy now is taking a lot more serious. They've got a lot more options, the reserves going out on loan. I'm glad to finally see it, you know, than it was, what, 6, 7 years ago when I was there. But yeah, finally 7 homegrown players, guys. Mikey Lewis, Will Tate, Charlie Kavanagh, Tom Ware, Max Kirkbright, Daniel Okoro and Connor Moore will be with Rovers first team next year, which is great to see. So good luck to them. Another person who's going to be joining the Robins in 2022, mate, is Greg Richards, Super League winner in 2014 with St Helens. It was a surprise one, mate. There was no rumours. There was nothing in the league weekly, nothing that we'd known about. We normally find out, don't we, a little bit before. I haven't heard anything. I know you haven't, but we saw that the Robins are pleased to announce the signing of Greg Richards from London Broncos for 2022. The 26-year-old has signed a one-year deal with the option for a second year. An experienced prop, Richards previously won the 2014 infamous Ben Flower Super League Grand Final with St Helens and has gone on to make over 140 career appearances for the Lee Centurions, Sheffield Eagles and London Broncos. I think this is a win-win situation for the Robins, mate. He's played 70 Super League games for St Helens. You don't do that if you're not half decent. I remember playing against him. I remember he hits hard, he runs hard, he tackles hard. He's not going to be a flashy player. With George Lawler leaving, we don't know what's going to happen with Will Maher. You've got Tom Garrett coming in, Frankie Alton, the young lads who I've just mentioned. Greg Richards, he's only 26. He's obviously doesn't want to go part-time with London. He's had Super League experience. This could be his second wind. He's been given a chance by the Robins. We look at what happened to Louis Johnson, how he's took it in his stride after being let go by Warrington. He's revamped his career. Richards is a little bit older, mate, but I'm looking forward to seeing him because I always remember he had a good engine on him. I know he's been playing in the Championship, same as Garrett and Halton. But these lads are going to be taking the step up. They're going to be back in a Super League environment. He knows Super League in and out. And you know what? I'm happy with this, mate. Again, I think money's a massive issue. I can't imagine him being on massive, massive bucks. But He adds us, he bolsters our pack. It gives us that much needed space in the pack. We know, look at Corbin Sims. He hasn't played as many minutes as we wanted. Vettey had that injury at the beginning. That might happen next year. You never know what's going to happen to the likes of Lynette, Takarangi. They'll be in the second row. Hadley, Minchella's coming back from an ACL. To have someone like Greg Richards, probably on the fringes, on the bench, even a starting spot with King next year. I'm happy with this, mate. Weighs 110k. I'm hoping he just does the basics right and we can get out what we want Will Maher to be doing now with that wrecking ball. Richards is that type of player for me, but it's a win-win situation. If it don't work, it's only a year deal.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, isn't it? Because if you look at the prop situation for next season, obviously George Lawler joining Castleford, Will Maher, you know, question. Old Richards coming, obviously 26. You got Tom Garrett, 26, Frankie Holton, 25, all can play at prop. That's on top of already having Staunton, Vettey, Sims, King. So that competition for starting spot or you know, a squad spot is going to be hot next season, isn't it? Because these players, you know, Frankie Holton, Tom Garrett, Greg Richards, you know, they've left part-time rugby league, they're coming to Super League, and they're not coming to Super League for an holiday. They're coming to make a name for themselves. They're coming to play. So it's going to be really interesting, mate. And Greg Richards, you know, he's someone who's come in who's, you know, he's already tried and tested in a way. And he over, you know, 70 Super League games. He's played for Lee, Sheffield, London, grand final with Saints. And obviously that one-year deal, it gives a chance to look at him with an option and another. To, you know, so the balls is, you know, but what I would say is, Joe, with all them props in there, do you think you could see someone else potentially leaving other than Will Maher?
I mean, you never know what's
going to happen. There's a lot of players there. There's a lot of props there, isn't there?
If you're looking at it now, you've got the only two people who I could see leaving from this props column that I've got on my laptop is Anisu Madotti, just because I've seen that he's been at Doncaster and hasn't hit the heights that it is, but he's been missing games, he's been on the bench, he hasn't played big minutes. And probably, if you're being honest and being realistic, Corbin Sims?
I think it's really interesting. We've said about his family, haven't we? And obviously, he's living over here in UK on his own. His family are still in Oz. That you've got a COVID situation over there. People, you know, you know, getting locked up in Australia for leaving their house and stuff. So it's a troubling time, and you do wonder, could this be an opportunity for him to go home? Who knows? I mean, we're just pondering, aren't we? We've got no knowledge whether that's happening. And you know what? I'd love to see him stay at Rovers, so it's definitely not something that I'm wishing happens. But I just look at the numbers there, and you just think there's going to be a lot of disappointed players.
Yeah, there is. And I feel like I'm really hoping that Sims's family, or I don't know the situation. I don't know if he's with the mum or anything. Obviously, we don't know much about Corbin's personal life. I'm not going to go into it. We don't know much about it anyhow. But I feel like Vettey's over here now. You know, he lives near us, doesn't he? We always see him walking around Kingsbury with his family. His daughters, or his three daughters, go to the games. His wife seems to really like it. She's set up a business. She has a cake business over here that she carried on from when she was down under. So they seem settled. They're a little bit younger. They've got their family. Whereas Sims, I've been disappointed with the amount of games that he's missed, you know, and I've said the other week, Danny, about putting when he's at golf and stuff and he's supposed to have a leg injury. I just think sometimes, you know, just let bygones be bygones. If you're injured, don't be saying that you're playing golf with the assistant coach. It winds me up, stuff like that. I know the humans, I'm not saying don't go out and have a social life, but I just think there is a time and a place. If his son was over, I know he'd put last week, it was Father's Day in Australia, in the Southern Hemisphere, it's different dates in it than over here. He put that he's missing his son. He won't have seen them for many months. We don't know anything like that. If they're not going to come over again next year, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. I couldn't be away from my family for that long, mate. Never mind if I was getting paid what he's getting paid. It doesn't matter. You know, family comes first. That's the only reason I can see him going, if that was, you know, like an early release clause, him and Madotti, just because I don't think Madotti's hit the form in League One. So is he going to come and do a job in Super League? Probably not at the moment. I know I'm judging him, but I'm only going what I've heard off the Donny report. So maybe, mate, we will see. I mean, too many cooks spoil the broth, I always say. But for Rovers, who were so injury-prone over the last 10, 12 years, you know, too many cooks don't spoil the broth in this situation. I'd love them all to stay. I want Corbin to be carrying on going, because when we've seen him and he's played them games, you know, the passion he wants to play when he's ready has been absolutely great. And I think him and Vettier can work with each other off the bench, maybe with Richards and King setting the tone, or Garrett, whatever it may be. Things change. You've got Minchella coming back. So we're going to have a lot of players, mate, but that's good. You've got reserves. You never know. You might see a Sims or Vettier playing for the reserves if they need a bit of fitness or they've got an injury. And that's the beauty of having them competitions, which obviously we'll discuss next season in the pre-season when we're discussing what's going to go on. I'm sure the reserves and 19s will get the league sorted, the fixtures, but that's for another day, mate. But yeah, so Greg Richards signing, Crooksy signing an extension, and the three lads joining, positive signs for Hull Kingston Rovers in 2022. We know one person who will not be with Rovers in 2022, and it was always expected if Crooksy was staying, we thought Minikin was going, and if Minikin had stayed, we expected Crooks to go, but it was the first one, mate. And Hull Kingston Rovers can confirm Greg Minikin will leave the club at the end of 2022. Despite the club offering Minikin a one-year extension, Greg has chosen to take up a new challenge with Warrington Wolves on a two-year deal, linking up with former coach Daryl Powell. Greg leaves the Robins in good faith. We wish him all the best for the future. And Tony Smith said, I'd like to wish Greg well and thank him for his contributions while at Hull Kingston Rovers. Greg Minikin will go down in Hull KR history as a player that never really lived up to the expectation. A lot of people have done that, mate. I remember when he'd signed, he scored an hat-trick for the England Knights against Jamaica, and it was like, oh, you know, Greg Minikin, he's played for a lot of decent teams. You know, he's never really picked up any injuries. He's an English outside back who's going to link up with Crooksy. He's had a lot of injuries while he's been at Rovers, like so many players done. He's done well in spells. He's been brilliant. I thought the last month while he's been playing for a contract, he's been really good. But if what we spoke about with Corbin Sims, that financial gain, obviously, with his family and stuff, a little bit different for Greg Minikin. He lives in West Yorkshire. He's been offered a two-year deal by a team that's higher than his current team. Let's be having it right. He's linking up with his coach. He's got two-year security. These rugby players out on 500 grand a week, like Ronaldo's going to be on at Man U or Messi at PSG. He knows for the next 2 years he's going to be at a top-four club in Warrington or a playoff club in Warrington, whereas he's only got a year and might not even start for the Robins next year with Ethan Ryan, Sam Wood, these young lads who are up and coming. So I think it was expected. I wish Greg all the best. I know what he can do, but he hasn't done it enough for me to be upset about it, like a few people have been saying. A lot of it goes down to, was he just playing for a contract? If it had stayed, it would have been great. He's an experienced outside back. He's not, we move on. He's going to do a job for us for the rest of the year, and I'm happy that he's still playing in red and white and he's giving his giving his all. It's not like he's saying he don't want to play. Look at what's happening with Caesar and Huddersfield. I know he's injured, but he hasn't played since it's announced he's going to Leeds. We know that's not going to happen with Greg Minikin. He's leaving the club, mate. What's your thoughts on it? For me, not the end of the world. We're getting a bit younger players. We're rebranding. We're getting a bit of a new identity, aren't we, in them outside backs, and Minikin's not going to be a part of that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised he's leaving. I'm surprised he's going to Warrington.
I think if Steve Price was there, he wouldn't be.
Yeah, he seems to be getting the old band back together, doesn't he, at Warrington. But it's interesting what you said there, Joe, about his rebranding, you know, changing. You know, obviously, we saw him being part of our plans for the future by offering him a contract.
Yeah.
You know, so he was still in, he was in Tony Smith's thinking for next season. So, you know, obviously, the fact that Minikin's departure was announced and then Crooks was quickly announced as staying, you know, you potentially seen that as being a partnership for next season as well. So I wonder now, is there a space there? Are Rose going to look to fill it? Are we going to use Sam Wood? Is he going to play there? Or are Rose going to look at bringing somebody else in to play that centre position?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you then, mate. Yeah, you've said my question there. What do you think? I mean, you're going to have Ryan or Ethan Ryan, Crooks, Tate, the wingers out. You've got PLT and maybe Dagger, we don't know yet. You've got Kenny Dowell. I want Takarangi in the second row next year with Lynette. That's what I think we're strongest. You've got Sam Wood and Max Kirkbright. Then that's only three. Kenny Dowell, Sam Wood, Max Kirkbright. That's three. If one person gets injured, we're down to the bare bones. I can see Rovers going for an outside back. I haven't got it up with me, and we'll go on to rumours and stuff when the season's over. But I'm trying to think of any outside backs. We haven't got a quota spot, so it has to be a UK or a French player, outside backs that are available.
Yeah, I think we'll be in the market for someone, mate. And I think, you know, if I was a Rover supporter, I'd probably start scouring the Championship to see who's been performing well at, you know, in the centres, because I think that's where Rovers might be looking to do the business again. Saying that, you know, obviously Minikin leaving frees up a bit more money, doesn't it? You know, maybe there's some more money to maybe go a bit higher than the Championship and start looking at Super League. But I think obviously Rovers saw him being part of the future, at least for next season. Obviously, you can't blame Minikin for leaving. You know, you get offered a 1-year contract or you get offered a 2-year contract. It's a bit more security for your family. And like you said, he's never really at the ground at Rovers, has he? He's always been a 6 or a 7 out of 10 for me. You've never seen him reach them heights of being, 10 out of 10 in his performances. So, we wish him well. You know, he's still doing a job for Rovers now. And like you said, his best performances probably have come at the back end of this season. So, there's still a few more games in us yet. And let's hope there's still a bit more to come from Greg, because, if he is leaving, he wants to leave on a high. And for him, the sky's the limit at Rovers at the moment, isn't it? So let's hope he puts it all in for the end of the season and he's pushing us to a playoff place.
Yeah. And we will move on to that timely subject now, mate. So that was all the transfer news, guys. We know there'll be plenty of ins, plenty of outs in the next few weeks or so. But in this week, we've seen a good 4 statements from the clubs, a few ins and 1 out, with Greg Minikin, who'll be playing with Daryl Powell at Warrington Wolves next year. And we wish him all the best, unless he's playing against the Robins. So Saturday, mate, God, Saturday Night Fever's the name of this podcast. How are you feeling? Because I'm still frustrated that we'd have been home and dry if we'd have performed against Hull, Huddersfield and Wakey. That's gone now. It's dead and buried. We can't look back on it. But I still do, because we're Rovers fans and we always have to do it the hard way. 2 massive games, mate. Cass and Leeds. Leeds, we can't put to the back of our minds. We've got to concentrate on the Saturday clash against Castleford Tigers. It's going to be on telly. I'll name the teams, mate, before we start speaking about the game itself. So the visitors, Daryl Powell, as we've been mentioning a few times, he'll visit Cass until the end of the year, and his side is Niall Avald's, Daryl Allfelt. So both play for Salford due to the Sky commentary team on Saturday, by the way. Peter Mataoutier, Michael Shent and Danny Richardson, Paul McShane, their key man, Man of Steel, who is a really injury doubt, and we'll discuss that. Oliver Holmes, Adam Milner, Nathan Massey, George Griffin, Alex Foster, Jax O'Neill, Tyler Heppy, James Clare, Jesse Seni-Lefeo will also be leaving Cass at the end of the year. Daniel Smith, Suwani Matangi, Jordan Turner, who's been outstanding this year, Lewis Beanek, Lewis Peachy, and the old enemy, the old foe of all Kingston Rovers, Gareth O'Brien. Castleford are always hit and miss, mate. We've got beaten the friendly, we got beaten the cup, which we should have won. Me and you was lucky enough to be at that first game back with fans, with about 20 Rovers fans, when we beat them at Wealdham Road. Amazing night. Rovers can beat Castleford. Castleford can beat Rovers. I think it's down to whoever wants it. This is a playoff game. We're not in the playoffs yet. Castleford and Leeds aren't in the playoffs. Wigan might not be in it. Hull definitely probably won't be. It's so tight with 2 games to go, you just can't call it. In a perfect world, from a Rovers point of view, we hope Saints beat Leeds. Hull probably beat Wigan, as much as it hates to say it. We probably need that to happen, because it gives Rovers a bit of leeway. But ultimately, in East Hull, on Saturday night, 7:45, under the Sky cameras, Rovers need to carry on and that winning streak, and we need to do the double in the last 2 games over Castleford, because it's do or die now, isn't it, mate? Every game, if we want to make the playoffs, if we want to make the semi, whatever we want to do this year, we've got to win now. We can't afford to lose, because it's that tight. I'm nervous, mate. I really am.
Yeah, and you know what, mate? It's good to be at the end of the season looking at a playoff and not looking at going down or, a drab end to the season where we haven't really achieved anything. So this is what it's about, mate. And we've put it out on Twitter. Fucking hell, if you support Rovers, this is the game to get your ass to. If you want Rovers to kick on, this is where the supporters can really make a difference. We saw it against Wigan. You know, I reckon the supporters pushed that team over the line that game. And it's a Saturday night. I think it's a perfect night for rugby. Hopefully, the weather will be all right. Craven Street will be rocking. People all be in a good mood. Everyone's had a chance to have a drink. And it's a real opportunity for supporters to get behind the boys and really push them to victory. Because I think this Castleford team, inconsistent. I don't think there's anything to fear. I think the looks a lot more dangerous with the news that Danny Richardson and Gareth O'Brien are likely to return. That said, McShane is a major injury doubt. And obviously, we've all seen what influence he can have on the team and how he makes them tick. So, if he's missing it, it'll be a huge miss for them. But do you know what? I don't think this game's about Castleford. I think this game's about Rovers' mentality and how Rovers turn up, because we've got the players to achieve a victory. It's, I think it's about now getting that mindset right. And for me, it's not a game where you can go, well, if we lose, there's always Leeds next week. It's the here and now. You know, I think pretty much if you lose this game, I think that's pretty much it for finishing the playoffs, because I think it'll, a defeat will not only, you know, take points, win percentages off us, but it'll also affect confidence. So I think this is our chance to go out, really make a statement and really go for it. And for me, I don't know about you, Joe, I'd pretty much keep the Rovers lineup the same, apart from halfbacks. I'd take Keyes and Lewis out and I'd replace him with Abdul and Milnes.
I think, before I name his side, Tony Smith's side, I think he's going to play Mikey and Abdul. I just have.
Well, I'll tell you what, you give us a side, Joe, and then we'll go into it.
Perfect. So the side is Ben Crooks, Greg Minikin, SKD, Ryan Hall, Jordan Abdul is back after 6 weeks. It's about time. Albert Vette, Matt Parcell, Brad Sakarangi and Kane Lynette, Jez Litton, George King, Matty Staughton, Will Dagger, Mikey Lewis, Joe Keyes, Rowan Milnes, Will Maher, Louis Johnson, Mus Mustafa, Will Tate and Jimmy Kinehorse. Mate, yeah, it's such a weird one, isn't it, with Abbo coming back and obviously what Keyes did over the weekend. But for me, you've got to put your strongest team out. And Rovers are the best team at the best when Abdul's playing. Look how good he's been against Wigan away, Catalan in that first half away when we was 26-10 up at half-time. The Castleford game when we went, you know, to Wealdham Road, he won that game for Rovers with his kicking as well. I just feel he needs to get back into it. I feel like Mikey is going to be a lot better with Abdul. How many times can we speak about the halfbacks, mate? But it's so hard because no, we haven't cemented an halfback partnership still, and we're not going to this year. We might as well face the facts. Mikey is a great player. He's a great prospect. I really like him. I just think he was the lead halfback. He's played the most games compared to Keyes at weekend, and his organisation isn't up to it yet. He's better when he's got that free roll, when he can take it from side to side. He doesn't have to organise the moves and worry about what we're going to do on set play one, play two, and then his kicking game. Abdul can do that. He can do all the kicking. He can set the hard moves up with SKD and Lynette and all that. Mikey is a bit like a Parcell and Jez and a Dagger. The fast, he's the ones who can go 100 metres. We've got to link up with Abdul and the likes of whoever plays Takarangi, whoever plays 13, probably Matty Staughton. George King's got a good passing game. That's where we beat Cass. I think Abdul has to partner Mikey because Cass have got some fast threats. They've got Peter Mataute here. Jordan Turner's ripping it up, but he ain't got the pace. Michael Shenton's coming up to 34. So these are really good players if you let them be good players. We've seen in that second half against Cass, we took the game to them. We didn't let Paul McShane be a bastard and beat us round the rump. Matt Parcell, Sean Kenny, that was immense that night. These guys have got a man up against these players now because we've seen Cass can get absolutely hammered when you take the game to them. But if you give them a bit of space, the likes of Oliver Holmes, Danny Richardson, Gareth O'Brien, Jordan Turner, who's playing his best rugby at 32, they can really hurt teams. They've gone to Saints and beat them away. This team aren't no mugs. They was in the Challenge Cup final. But you've also seen them lose 70 points against Salford. I know it wasn't their strongest team. They've got beat to us. They've got hammered by certain other teams. So it's going to be hit and miss, mate. There's massive, massive matchups. I think, again, as always, Parcell and Jez are huge if Paul McShane doesn't play because that slows their ruck down. You've got to win the floor against the likes of Nathan Massey, Adam Milner, George Griffin. These lads, they only know one way and it's forward. We've got to match them in the middle, which I think Rovers can. And hopefully the result will come, mate. That atmosphere against Wigan, unbelievable. Atmosphere against Wakey, it was like a minute silence times 80. We, I know it's not all about the fans, the players have got to perform, but if we're listening, what me and Chris are saying, we know Rovers fans are amazing. The travelling numbers, if we was playing in Dublin for Magic, would still take probably a few hundred, maybe even, you know, nearly 1,000, because that's Rovers, that's the Red Army. This is our playoffs now. We've got to go and do it, mate. And I just hope we give a good account of ourselves, because I want to go to Edinley next Friday with it still on the line, and you never know. Results, Rovers could finish 8th and Rovers could finish 4th. So let's not rule out anything yet. But it all starts on Saturday. The playoffs start here for Hull Kingston Rovers, for Castleford, for Leeds, for Wigan. The playoffs have already started, mate. And do you know what? Rovers, give a good account of themselves. Give 110%. The result should come. And the fans have got to get behind them. I'm actually trying Craven Street for the first time, mate. So I'm looking forward to that. You've done it a few times, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh, mate, if I see you, I'll let you get me a £2 picture. That'll sort me out. Thanks, Joe, very much.
I don't think they don't take my card, mate. I don't think. Well, I'll get Dave Bondell and John will get you a pint.
Yeah, but I mean, I've, you know, I think the mentality is slightly different for Leeds and Castleford. I think there's an expectation that they should be in the playoffs. Yeah. I think Tony Smith's been very clever in downplaying towards this end of the season that playoffs maybe want the goal, maybe not ambition for this season and then pushing on next season. So in a way, let's turn that into a positive. Let's play with a bit of freedom because I think when we have played with that freedom, we've played with that creativity, I think that's when we've been at our best. And I think if we can get, you know, if we can match Castleford in the middle, which is no easy task, don't get me wrong. If we can match them in the middle, I think we've got enough creativity in that team to really trouble them. And I think that could see us come out on top. Because when you look at it, you've got Crooks, Minikin, SKD and Hall. You know, they're our strongest wingers and centres. Obviously, Dagger playing at fullback. You know, Quinlan obviously started there. Quinlan's injured, hence why Dagger's playing. For me, Abdul and Milnes, our strongest halfback partnership. I think Milnes playing there gives Abdul a chance to use his kicking game and use some of his, you know, some of his creativity that he's got, especially close to the line. And then when you look at it, you know, in the props, I know we're going to be missing Sims and Lawler. Lawler might have played his last game of the season for Rovers. Obviously, Tony Smith revealed that he's got a thumb injury that's keeping him out of this game and probably the game against Leeds. Sims, who knows? You know, he's been missing for a few games now and inconsistent. But for me, I'd be starting with King and Vette, with Parcell. You've got to keep Taka and then Lynette at second row. And then you're probably going to go start and loose forward again, aren't you? I think out of all them, the bench is an interesting one for me, because against Lee we started with Vette, Litton, Johnson and Kynhorst. What would you be looking for on the bench, Joe?
I think do you know what, mate? I think it literally might be the same team apart from Abdul in for Keys. So I think he'll stay with that, me personally, mate. I really do, yeah. I can't. Or maybe swap. He's not going to swap, you know, little stuff, Johnson maybe to lose or whatever. I think that'll be the teammate, what you named. And then and obviously with Abdul and Lewis at halfbacks. And,
yeah, the only thing I'd say about Milnes is, and I know he was, Tony Smith weren't happy with the halfbacks against Huddersfield. And obviously Milnes paid the ultimate price. Could it be a scenario where he drops him for the league game as a punishment, as a wake up call, and then you see him slot back
get back into it?
Right, you know, who knows? Because obviously Milnes was playing really well before that, and he ran the show pretty much against the Bindippers. So, you know, he's shown what he's capable of. Lewis, you know, he makes things happen. He's a spark, you know, he's a fiery little bugger, and he gets the team going. He's not afraid to take it to the big men. And we've seen him when he's got the ball in hand and he's running at people. He's looking to make these breaks. So it's going to be an interesting one there, mate, because we have, you know, and it's a good thing. We've got options. How often at this stage of the season have we been having discussions like this about who to play? Normally, it's been about, can we find someone to play? Now we're talking about, you know, dropping some big players, some good players to replace them with other good players. So it's a good position for us to be in.
It is, and look how many people were missing as well. You know, Elliot Minchella, he'd be a starter for me. Quinlan would still be there. So Rovers, you know, we're in a good position, like you said, with numbers now, which is always the good thing, and that is probably why we're not fighting relegation, and we are maybe going to, we could finish fourth, because fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever it may be, mate. Whatever happens, Rovers have had a very, very good season, and it is them building blocks. We've signed probably the majority of our squad for next season. We know who's in, we know who's out. But we've still got a job to do, and Rovers can make the name for themselves in 2021, mate. All is to play for. Nice and quick, mate, so we can get this out. We've done it a little bit later. Obviously, we're both back at work now. I've been off for a bit, so we've done it a little bit later. We will finish with our tipping league, sorry, before we end the show. Saints and Leeds, mate. I hope Saints, for the point of Rovers' sake, I think Saints will win anyhow, mate. I think it'll be too much for Leeds. They've still picked up a few injuries. Great win over Hull last week, but I think it might be a little bit too much from going to Saints. We'll be hurting after that, giving them 18 points away, 19 points away to Catalan Dragons and losing the league leader Shield.
Yeah, do you know what? I just think all the bag of shit. I think they'll lose. I just think they've literally down tools. I think.
I was on about against Saints Leeds.
Oh, was you? Sorry. I'm reading something else, that's all about. Sorry, mate. I lost a train of thought then. I think St. Helens, you start wondering whether they're going to start resting players, etc., don't you? Leeds are desperate for a win. They know it's in their hands.
Saints haven't dropped players, mate. They haven't.
No, I think Leeds Centrelands are smarting from that Catalan defeat and they want to put a marker down. So, yeah, I think Centrelands victory.
Hull and Wigan, two teams who are on a very poor run of form, mate. I want, obviously, if we're going from a Rovers perspective, we've already said what we need to happen, really. But I think Hull have gone. I think Wigan will just win. I think they'll get their season back on track, cement a playoff spot. I think Wigan will beat the Black and Whites, the Bin Dippers, and end their season and get the Hodgson out, towels out, because they won the cup final a few weeks ago and now their season's over, mate. Wigan for me.
Yeah, so what I've just said previously, but I'm going to stick to
literally.
I think they're a shambles, and I hope Wigan absolutely wipe the floor with them.
2.5 million apparently that squad, but that is for another day. Warrington against Salford.
So
yes, Radders in, definitely. Warrington against Salford, mate. And Salford have nothing to play for. I think they're gone as well, mate. Second to last game of the season. Get it over and done with. They'll just want to finish. I think Warrington will win at the Aliwell Jones.
Yeah, I think so, mate. As you said, I think so. Although, you know, Warrington, they're pretty much secured third spot, haven't they? So I think they'll be... I think they could be, you know, coasting a little bit towards the end of the season. So, do you know what? No, I was going to say maybe a surprise, but I can't see anything more than why winning.
Catalan against Huddersfield. Catalan have got a lot of players out, mate. I saw the squad that they announced today. I just think because of what's happened with the winning the League Leaders Shield, they'll have had a bit of a party, won't they? They're on the, like, a drink over there in the south of France. I'm going to say Huddersfield, mate, because I think Catalan have they've rested about seven of their key players, like Maloney, Tompkins, drafting. I think Huddersfield are going to win, mate, but obviously just because of what's happened, they're playing a lot of their 19s, Catalan, I think, giving them debuts.
Yeah, I saw that. They're looking at a sellout crowd in France. Obviously, they want to celebrate the League Leaders Shield. So, it's probably one of them games, isn't it, where anything could happen and maybe the emotion, etc., might just get Catalan through. Huddersfield, very funny team, aren't they? They've been so erratic with the results this season and the fact that they absolutely hammered Rovers was very disappointing. I'm going to go and stick with Catalan Dragons.
Rovers against Cass, we know what we're going for, mate. We've spoke about it. Enough said. It's time to do it on the field. Now, all Kingston Rovers, let's get in them playoff spots for next week's final game of the season.
Yeah, Rovers all the way.
Final game, mate. Lee against Wakey. Lee are gone, aren't they, mate? Wakey, 100%.
Yeah, that's not one for the neutral, really.
No, snooze fest, mate. Absolute snooze fest. So, guys, that is all we have got time for. Like me and Chris have said, all Kingston Rovers have started the playoffs already. We have got two games to carry on this season. What's been a weird season, guys. Get yourself down. If you haven't been this year because of COVID, you haven't got a pass, get yourself down. Let's pack the East Stand, the North Stand, the West. Get in Craven Street. Let's have the atmosphere like it's a derby, like it's a playoff. We need you there. The players need to do their bit, but so do we. So does Tony Smith. And we all stay together. And whatever happens, we've been through a lot worse, Chris. But Rovers need to carry on their season. They're hosting Castleford Tigers. The fourth time the clubs will have met this season. Let's hope the Robins can do like they did in the fixture at the Menderhose Jungle about 4 months back. Chris, it's been great to speak to you, mate. I'll probably see you in Craven Street. Get your card ready because it's Dave's birthday and I want you to buy him a pint on me.
Oh, definitely, mate. And just one very last thing, mate. A special mention to Rovers women's side who were playing Warrington Wolves in the Women's League One playoff semi-final. After finishing second in the league, they play Craven Park on Sunday, kick-off 2 o'clock. So if you're free on Sunday and you want to see some rugby league and go cheer on Rovers women, get yourself down to Craven Park. So it's a big weekend of rugby league for Rovers.
It is, and obviously the under-16s girls as well, mate. Thank you for reminding me. There was in the Yorkshire Cup final last night. They got beat by Featherstone Lionesses, 20 points to 8. I think there was 550 there, mate, at Fev Lions ground, which is great to see. You know, these girls are back at school now, year of 10, year 11s. Actually, got one who's just joined Rondeering, which is great as well. So I'm sure I'll get to know her in the under-16s and what they're doing over the next few years while she's at my school as well. So well done to the girls for getting to the final. We know we didn't have a team a few years back, so big raps to the likes of Liam Wasling, Ben Parker, Joe Wardle when he was at the club and done that. They've done a lot of work with the girls and the women, so keep it up, guys, and hopefully we can see you in that Women's Super League playing the likes of Saints and Leeds in a few years' time. So, guys, this has been the Red Robin Podcast with me, Joe Appleyard, Chris Johnson. We've said our part. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Get down on Saturday because Rovers have got a massive, massive game. Thanks, Chris. Speak to you on Saturday, buddy.